You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The LCMS convention is taking place this summer in July in Phoenix.
It's very soon.
Right around the corner. We get an update with the Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. John Sias, he's Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We love inviting you back. We're now like rolling in like
The end is at hand, yes. You know.
We are in the end times.
Yes, the axe is at the root of the trees here for this convention round. We've got a couple kind of turning points in the process. We're done with all our nomination stuff. We're ready to move on to elections, and we'll lead off with the election of the president, which happens before the convention. Rest of it all gets deferred until we're actually together in Phoenix. But the other piece and the part that I find more interesting is really the winnowing down of and refining of the convention business to determine what resolutions the convention is going to take. And so we're just about to floor committee weekend, where the hive of that activity is going to gather here in St. Louis and, you know, a large number of overtures down to hopefully a manageable pile of good stuff for the convention to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big day when the convention workbook dropped. For certain people, apparently the people I follow on the internet were very excited.
It's big news for
people who are following it.
Yeah.
It is big news. And this is a book.
It is big.
Yes.
It is big.
What does this book contain? Why is it a big deal to, I suppose, certain people on the internet? But this is a big deal for a convention.
It's a big deal for the Synod. Mm-hmm. There are really two main pieces to that book. The first part, there's some prefatory stuff about who's going to the convention. You can go and see who you can catch up with there and who's representing everyone, what's going to be going on that way. But then there's a big chunk of reports in which all the officers and agencies of the Synod, boards of the Synod, commissions of the Synod, basically spill the beans on whatever they've been up to for the last 3 years, and also give a little bit of insight on what they have planned for the 3 years to come, and maybe what input or insight or resources they're looking for to try to get the job done better for the Synod in the next 3 years and beyond. So there are 62 reports, some of which have sub-reports in them, but you can see there how all the officers explain how they've carried their positions and what's been going on with all our colleges, universities, districts, so on and so forth. Even all the important decisions of the CCM, the Commission on Constitutional Matters, are in there. So if you're into that sort of real bylaw nerdery,
yes,
there's some wonderful material there we spent a lot of time on. And the reports of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations are gathered there, unfortunately put through my shrink ray. So you might find them easier to read on the internet, but those are all there for kind of the historical record and just for everyone in the Synod to be able to catch up in one place on, you know, what's happening. So that's the first part. The second part
are
the overtures.
There we go.
Which are even more exciting. We had an increase this year of almost 100 overtures in count that were submitted to, I think, 374 unique ones this time.
Wow.
And those are requests from all over the Synod for the convention to do something, from simply giving thanks for something that's going on or encouraging something to happen in our congregations, all the way up to modifying our constitution and bylaws in a variety of ways. So that's a good chunk of the book this time, and interesting to look at.
And I want to talk about more of the details about the overtures and then all the work that happens in a very concentrated time here in the near future. Before we get to that, why is convention important? Why all these things that make up convention in this cycle, why does this all need to happen?
The convention is the mechanism for the congregations to govern their synod. The Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is a voluntary organization of around 5,000 parishes, somewhat more congregations in those, which have put the synod together to monitor their own doctrine and practice, to provide for things like seminaries and universities so we can have church workers to serve where we need them, and then to do things together that the congregations would have a hard time doing individually, like make hymnals or do international mission or this sort of thing. And so the convention is the opportunity for those congregations to come together through their delegates, and for the other members of the synod, the individual members, through their advisory delegates, to gather and assess how we've been doing, what we need to do better, and how we can better look out for each other and address the problems that tend to come along and evolve as the church goes on.
We talked about overtures being a big part of what happens in the convention cycle. What are some of the overtures that are included this time? You said the 374,
I think, okay, was the final total. And there are some of the typical things that are there to try to set priorities for the next triennium, to make some adjustments to bylaws, most of which are fairly pedestrian. The biggest topic this time was on pastoral formation, kind of the question of how we go on training pastors for service in our congregations. And it's somewhat in response to a felt need for more pastors across the synod. We've got a lot of congregations that are struggling to be served by as many pastors as they might like. Oftentimes, there are kind of resource limitations or difficulties that just make that hard and are going to, no matter how many pastors you're training. There are also just questions of whether we do residential routes, non-residential routes, what balance of residential and non-residential is good for the ministerium of the synod long term, and just kind of checking up on the effectiveness of the methods we've used and looking for what might be next. So a great deal of interest in that. Of course, it's one of the most important things that the synod does, to see for a carefully prepared, properly equipped ministerium that's able to get out and serve our congregations and spread the word.
The window to receive overtures has closed, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we're way beyond that.
Right.
But there is the possibility of late overtures in certain kind of circumstances of overriding importance. So there could be one or two more that the late committee would let through. But in bulk, we're done with that part.
So where are we then in that process in terms of overtures? What comes next? And I know it's very intense.
It is intense. So we are almost at the cusp of floor committee weekend, which is coming up not this Friday, but next Friday, starting on
the 29th.
Yeah. Yes. And what that is the president is responsible to appoint floor committees in a number of areas to kind of prep material for the convention. So there will be 10 topical floor committees this time. And to each of those committees, he's responsible to appoint a mix of people that are going to be attending the convention as delegates or representatives. There are some staff that kind of get assigned to help out. There are commissions like the Commission on Constitutional Matters that I mentioned, CTCR, Commission on Theology and Church Relations, they'll be there to help. But those floor committees are assembled, and they get, each of them, a pile of overtures on a given topic, and then a pile of reports that relate to that topic. And they're responsible to cook all that stuff down and to make sure that everything that's been given them is addressed somehow, at least in the overtures. You can't cover everything that's in the reports, but to make sure that everything is in those overtures is addressed one way or another in material that's prepared to go before the convention. So they'll have the goal, some of them, of cooking down upwards of 60 overtures received into maybe a manageable number like 8 to 10 of resolutions that will actually be put into the next book, which is Today's Business 1. And that'll go out to the synod for comment. And then that'll be the initial work that the floor committees will start with when they meet again in the days right before the convention in Phoenix this summer.
So that sounds like a lot of work for the floor committees over floor committee weekend.
It is. It's a busy weekend. The floor committees are here. We've got the Today's Business staff that helps them with some editorial things. And I'll tell you, I'm not sitting down very much during that weekend, running around trying to help people figure out the intricacies of bylaws and constitutional things that they're dealing with, and just trying to help them understand the broader context of how all these pieces fit together in the machinery that governs the LCMS between conventions, and how to get stuff done.
Yeah. What does that actually look like for, an example floor committee taking the big pile and boiling it down, what are some of the things that go into that process? Because that's a process that really not a lot of us see. Even the people that work in the building, we don't actually see that process happening.
You know, some kind of reality TV version of this sometime.
Yes,
you know,
there we go.
Kind of interesting.
People would love that.
A certain number of people, probably, yeah. So the process, you know, really starts with gathering all the material for them. We try to organize the overtures into to like categories or contrasting categories in the book so they're near one another. The president spends some time visiting with the floor committee chairs ahead of time to help them get organized and into the material. And then they really get here and get the stuff and get to work. We collect a lot of comment from folks out in the Synod, and the official comment period for the overtures just closed on 16th. However, now that we do this electronically, if anybody has any further comment, we'll probably get that, be able to get that passed along to the floor committees anyway. It'll go into the pile with everything else. They get that comment along with the stuff that's in the book. And typically they'll divide into subcommittees, identify topics, kind of figure out what expertise they have in the room, break up into groups, kind of do some drafting, and then come back in plenary and hash it all out. And these things can go, some things go quickly. If an overture is in good shape in the book and kind of ready to go, they'll look at it and say, hey, that looks great. Anybody have any other ideas, any concerns? Nope, on it goes. There are others that take some time and many, many drafts through that weekend. We kick off on Friday night with a service and orientation. President gives his another segment of his report to the convention. Then they've got a couple hours to work on Friday night, and then it's slogging at it Saturday, Sunday. Some of them will even be here Monday, perhaps, trying to finish up. But then we're pretty eager to kick them out the door with their stuff done because I got to get today's Business One published and ready for folks to see and comment on that, too.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. John Saya, Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the upcoming LCMS convention, where we are in that cycle in preparation for convention. We have more to learn about in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we are learning about the upcoming LCMS convention, looking at where we are in the process of preparing for that convention with the Reverend Dr. John Saya. He serves as Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I think we have a good grasp on what happens with those overtures and the commenting and then floor committee weekend. And somehow how all of that information comes out in those beautiful drafted resolutions ready to go to. And those are then published in Today's Business One.
Today's Business One. And it's Today's Business. It is actually a daily publication. The first one comes out way early so folks can react to it. But then we're publishing that every day during the convention with Sundays being Today's Business Two and so on and so forth.
I've seen that machine in action, like behind the scenes in the convention center, and that team working so diligently. Those people work hard.
That would be a somewhat quieter TV reality show.
Much quieter, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a pretty quiet room when you walk in, but everybody's very focused and concentrating, so I try to be very quiet when I go in there. That team, tell us a little bit about the team that makes up Today's Business.
Yeah, so we've had the tradition of recruiting folks from in the building. And this time we brought in a couple of ringers, some professional editors that do this day in, day out, kind of freelance to augment us. Because editing is kind of an interesting skill. You know, it's not for everyone. And particularly the kind of technical editing that we do with these, where you're really trying to be very careful not to adjust what the person is trying to say, what the body that's submitting is trying to say, but you're trying to render the thing best you can, more consistent with the pattern other overtures, more consistent with the pattern of language we have in the Constitution and bylaws, find all the references, check all the quotes, so that there aren't those awkward moments at the convention where somebody says, wait a minute, that's not what it says. And then we're wasting $980 a minute or whatever the crazy figure is to try to solve problems that we didn't need. So it's an interesting discipline. We spend a lot of time on training here. I get to play English teacher and technology teacher for a few months, getting that crew ready. But it's a fascinating group of people. We bring all kinds of gifts to it, and somehow we get it all done. We wound up this time kind of fighting AI just a little bit. So that was an interesting new feature of the process.
Tell us more about that. I've seen some people doing AI things with convention workbooks. I'm curious how you guys have managed with that.
And there have been folks kind of using AI to digest the thing and kind of put stuff out on the web. And that's interesting. I haven't, to be honest, I don't have the time to look at all that. But
that's. Are you busy?
Just a little. But what I'm referring to is some folks actually use AI to produce some of the overtures, the generative AI technology. And of course, AI being artificial intelligence, it doesn't really care if the quotes it gives you are actually accurate or even if the things that it's quoting actually exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of giving you what it thinks would be a good argument for whatever you give it as a prompt. So we had a number of instances where folks sent stuff in that said thus and such book said thus and such, and neither were really right. So that makes it interesting to try to track those things down and then find, oh, well, that didn't really exist. And sometimes, you know, figures, we're checking figures on the number of schools we have and so on. And a number of overtures came up with numbers that weren't right, but they were what Google AI said we had. So it's just a challenge of kind of our modern context. And I think an important reminder, which I put into the preface of the workbook for all those that are really dedicated readers, that out of respect for the convention, we do need to be checking our facts and making sure and, you know, maybe having the fun of doing the research ourselves and getting hands on documents and not leaving all the learning to machines that won't and can't.
The fun of doing research. Yeah. I love that. Yes. Yes. So the overtures are happening. Floor Committee Weekend is soon. Happening soon. All of these things are a very important part of convention. There is also election of officers happening. Yes. Election of president. Where are we in the election process?
Right. So we're getting close to the election of the president here. We have an important deadline yet for that, which is the change deadline for the president voter list. That's going to happen on May 29th. So if congregations have registered voters, pastoral lay voters for president, and for some reason one of those voters is not going to be available in the election period during June, maybe your pastor had been registered, but your pastor took a call and you've got another pastor that you could register, or a member of the congregation is, I don't know, going to Antarctica for the summer, not certain they'll have an internet connection from the boat. So I guess that would be winter down there, so that could be a very interesting trip. Might want to advise them about that. But there is still a chance for congregations to make a change to that voter through forms that are available on the website. But that locks down on May 29th. And then we're on the rails to that first round of balloting starting June 6th. It will start on a Saturday and run through a Tuesday. And five candidates have been published. The May witness has their names and information and so on that are in there. They're also up on the web. And we'll be sending stuff out to voters, of course, with their bios. But we'll have the first election dealing with those five candidates. If someone achieves a majority vote, so more than half the votes that are cast, that man will be elected president. If not, we'll reduce the ballot by one, take off the lowest vote getter, and we'll lather, rinse, and repeat next week. With four and then three and then two if we have to. We've never had to do that before, but there's always a chance that we'll explore that any given convention year.
So that's the election of president that occurs prior to convention. What other offices are up for election this year, and when do those occur?
So we'll have the rest of the presidium, so all the vice presidents, from the first vice president who serves here in St. Louis in a full-time position, to the five regional vice presidents that get sorted between second and sixth. Those elections will take place at the very beginning of the convention, because those ballots are all set, ready to go. There can't be any changes to those unless someone would drop off the ballot and need to be filled. From there, we'll go on to the election of the secretary and board of directors, the mission boards. Those boards, many of the seats are six-year terms, so only half the folks are up for election in a given convention. But we'll work our way on through there, through the elected members of CTCR, and then the various boards of the seminaries, universities of the synod, and everything else we've got. So it's 60-some offices up for election each time, which takes a little bit of time, but if all runs smoothly at the convention hall, it goes pretty quickly.
So there's election of officers, of boards. There's resolutions that happen. How does all this happen during the time that we have in the convention hall?
It takes a lot of preparation. And there's a wonderful gal in the president's office named Barb Belo, who stays pretty much behind the scenes, but does a tremendous amount of work, working ahead of time with our kind of event display audio voting people with our parliamentarian. We'll have a new gentleman who will be our parliamentarian this time, and who I think folks will enjoy getting to know and seeing how that how he works in our convention dynamic, his first time with us, but a very, very capable guy. And so a lot of that work gets done. Barb has incredible organizational gifts and just great diligence and patience and long-suffering to see that when the convention goes live, we're spending our time well.
What's the convention like from your seat? Because you're in the convention hall the whole time, right?
I am. I kind of would be missed if I disappeared.
People would notice, yes.
It's a very lively time, and the most fun part of it, I think, is when I'm moving, because you know, when we're on a break or I'm going somewhere, it seems there's a never-ending stream of different people, some of whom I've met, some who I don't know, some I won't remember and apologize for, just kind of wanting to figure out how to make the thing work and do what they want to do with it. And I enjoy that part of helping to facilitate people who are maybe participating for the first time, maybe trying to do something complicated to see, okay, does this make sense, and how do I make this happen? So that's a lot of fun, but these are long days. I up probably around 4, get over the convention hall, get stuff lined up. Then once convention starts, I'm pretty hard at it. Grab a little bite to eat at lunch, but that's usually meetings. And then when the convention shuts down, everybody goes to dinner. I'm off to finish the minutes, work with today's business, produce the next day's edition of today's business, which has to be done by 11, 12 at night so that we can have it published for the next morning and printed and on everybody's tables. So I usually, you know, get back to the room a little after midnight, and Heidi does her best to look after me, and I'm back at it in about 3.5 hours. So
I'm so tired just listening to that.
it's interesting. I'm not good for much the Thursday afternoon, you know, after the convention.
No.
The president has a little recap meeting. I skip it. And Heidi takes me to dinner somewhere, and we get some rest and head out. But it's grueling, I will say, but also exciting, and just to be part of the synod trying to govern all its operations, the congregations there, trying to do good with the thing, and do the best for one another and for generations to come. It is a stimulating thing for me to be part of, and it keeps me going.
It is really incredible how much happens during those few number of days for the next 3 years.
Yes.
For the synod, for our congregations to just keep doing what we're doing. It is really incredible the amount of stuff that happens.
There is a lot, and we have fairly organized, you know, ways that the stuff comes together and is reviewed. And without that, we'd be lost, you know, but we've kind of refined a pretty decent process of getting out the overtures, gathering comment, getting floor committees together, and you know, as long as everybody keeps talking and listening and participating, things go pretty well.
Yeah. Where can people find information for all of the things we've talked about today, the presidential nomination, the overtures turning into resolutions, floor committees, all that convention stuff? Where can people find that?
Right. The big hub of activity is at lcms.org/convention. And if you go there, there are kind of a couple of different ways you can go from that point. One is kind of the stuff for this convention year. If you hit national convention, it'll take you to the workbook, the biographical synopses, which are there to show you who's up for election, tell you a little bit about those folks. Or you can delve off into the convention governance section, which is kind of the behind-the-scenes explainer if you want to know what we're doing, why we do it, how to participate, all that. All those instructions are there in bulk. Look at how do I think about what goes into an overture, what's going to happen to this stuff. It's all there for kind of your convention preparation and joy.
lcms.org/convention. You can find more information there. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. John Sias, he serves as Secretary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you so much, Dr. Sias, for spending this time with us.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.